DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Shannon Dietz, who is the founder of Hopeful Hearts Ministry and a worldwide speaker reaching out through personal testimony to offer the hope of Christ's light and love to those who are suffering. Shannon has served as a team speaker for the Franciscan University Steubenville Youth Conferences in Ohio, Louisiana, Florida, Minnesota, Rhode Island, and Washington State, collectively reaching more than 40,000 teenagers. She is also a welcome speaker at the Worldwide Youth Conferences in Madrid, Spain, and Sydney, Australia. With Shannon Dietz, we go inside the pages of Exposed, Inexcusable Me, Irreplaceable Him. Published by Hopeful Hearts Ministry. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Exposed. It is such a gripping work that you've given to all of us. And the thing that makes it so compelling and poignant is that it's true. It's your story. It took a lot of courage to write this.
Yes, it did. But it was very, therapeutic as well.
What motivated you to share so much about your life?
Well, I had been working with teenagers as a youth minister for our parish, and just the more that I opened up with them and just allowed them to recognize that I did understand where they were coming from or some of the things that they were going through, I began to just feel encouraged by God to say, you know what, you need to begin telling about what you've been through truthfully, because the more you talk about it, the more people are going to understand and recognize I'm not alone, and I can overcome this, and I can, find peace in my life and move beyond this, that this does not define me. And so when I decided to write the book and when I felt called to write the book, I knew that I needed to be as truthful and honest about every step of what I went through as I could.
We might as well let the folks know what this is. Could you share with us the occurrences that truly traumatized you?
Well, sure, absolutely. I mean, there's many, many things, unfortunately, that happened, but, it began as a child when I was nearly abducted. When I lived in El Paso, and that kind of brought on this understanding of that there is a God and he is very powerful, but there is also an enemy in our lives. And as I went through that, my older sister was also struggling with some of her own issues at the time, and she's 6 years older, and I adored her and I just followed after her, and she had been molested by my grandfather and hadn't told anybody. So she was acting out what she had gone through. And in her acting out and me following behind her, I saw things that I shouldn't have seen as a child and got kind of caught up in that abuse, if you will. And as I got older and I would pray and pray and pray for God to save her, the way he saved me when I was nearly abducted as such a young girl, and that prayer wasn't being answered, and I couldn't understand it at the time. Like, why aren't you saving my sister? What I didn't recognize at such a young age was that my sister also had her own free will, and she needed to speak out and to talk about it, but instead she just allowed all of that anger and frustration and shame to carry her deeper within her own world of, her own pit of sin, if you will. And she needed to go through that on her own, and I didn't get that, and that brought anger within me, anger towards God, and I began to walk away from him. And when I walked away from him, I started to seek the love that I had within me from him. I started to seek that for, through others, through man, through partying, through being accepted by those around me, and which then led me into a situation of where I was date raped. And not that I, had brought that onto myself, mm-hmm. but I had myself in situations that it allowed it to happen, I guess, more readily. And I was raped by a young man that I had known for years. And when that happened, I thought that I had severed any tie with God, that I could, you know, how could he possibly want me back when I have lost, you know, my virginity? And which just sent me into my own then deep pit of despair. And then, you know, just truly allowed myself to be used and abused by men, and went deeper into the partying and that life of trying to hide and just numb my pain. And when I was a freshman in college, I thought that I found a young man that, you know, that could respect me and support me and be different than all these other men, and instead he raped me as well. But that was truly a moment that I believe God used to, not that he put it upon me, but that he used it for me to be able to look up at him and recognize that he's there and that he loves me, and no matter what, you know, I've been through or what I've done, that he is calling me back into his graces. And I received that through just an amazing grace of finding myself in confession after so many years. And that just began this true relationship and journey back into God's grace and recognizing his love for me.
You talked about the enemy who has those eyes on us and wants us to be isolated, to feel alone. Yeah. And it did start particularly early in your life because of just such the brokenness that you were experiencing in the family. And I'm sure in your ministry to youth now, you're finding that, unfortunately, that's more normative than than not.
Absolutely. You know, at first I never would talk about this enemy that I knew very well. You know, he not only gets us through fear, he can get us through many different avenues. And with me, I literally, physically could see him, could smell him, could tell when he was within, using another to get to me or trying to, bring me away from that relationship with God. But I would never tell anybody about it because I always thought, I'm crazy here. Nobody's going to believe me. But when I began to be truthful about it, As I said, when I was a youth minister and started talking about these things and started talking to more adults and other youth ministers, I began to have more and more people come to me and say, I've experienced something similar. You know, I've had this happen. I've had that happen. I've seen this. And it not only validated me, but I then in turn was validating them. And I began to truly see that there is this battle that we go through. And, you know, thank God the battle has already been won, but the enemy is going to try regardless, and he's going to use anything that he can to get us away from that relationship with God, even if it means trying to make you think you're crazy because he's going to show himself, you know. It happens in many different ways.
It also comes out in lies. He's the father of lies.
Oh, amen.
In a very real way, that first horrible experience of that date rape that occurred, the young man who assaulted you tried to turn it on you and say, this is what you wanted. This is, you were asking for this. And that's what so many young girls and even some young men who feel they have that kind of power, it's a lie.
Absolutely.
But they don't see it because that particular lie robbed you of your dignity.
Truly did. And you know, when I walked away that day when that happened and he was like, why, what's your problem, you know, you wanted this, you, and I thought to myself, of course I would not have wanted this, and I didn't, and I so wish that I could have had someone tell me then what I know now is, you know, God had never walked away from me. And even though my virginity was physically and violently, you know, taken from me, I was still whole. I was still pure. I was still spiritually who God, you know, created me to be. And even for young women and men who happen to make that choice to give it up and on their own, you know, when it hasn't been violently enforced and taken from them, God still wants to bring them into his grasp and say, you know, you are dignified, you are whole, you are worthy to continue forward and to live that life of purity and chastity. And I think sometimes, you know, young men and women, and I know that I did it at that time, I felt like because it had been done to me, and then the decisions I made after that to continue on in a sexual behavior, that I never could then be that person again that God would accept. Mm-hmm. And that's so far from the truth. Again, those are the lies of the enemy saying, look, you've made these decisions, or look, this happened to you, so you'll never be pure again in his eyes. And that is far, far, far from the truth.
Amen to that. And that great healing that occurred for you in the sacrament of reconciliation, in going to confession and just having that outpouring of the precious blood, just kind of get into those wounds. It's an essential part of the process, isn't it, Shannon?
Oh, it absolutely is. And it's amazing how God even brought me into that process. You know, having grown up as a Catholic, for whatever reason, I didn't see the true gift and importance of the sacrament of reconciliation. I feared it. I thought, oh, how in the world could I ever tell this priest, you know, what I have done? And that was the last thing I wanted to do on the day that God brought me into that chapel. I had done a lot of things, and I had a lot of things done to me. And I thought, if I tell this priest, you know, I'm going to hurt him. He's going to go, oh my gosh, you're such a sinner. That was my fear. I thought, this man is going to judge me. But I forgot, and all that I had learned, you know, growing up, that it's not this man. This is God. This is Christ himself looking at me and loving me. And I was walking by the church, and for whatever reason, I truly believe it was the Holy Spirit just called me in. I needed some kind of peace, some kind of sanctity, and I walked into our church, a small, small church on campus, and they were going through confession at that time. And I didn't recognize it at first until I saw them lined up on the wall, and I so badly wanted to leave. I thought, oh, no, no, I don't want to be here. This is the last thing I want to do. But I could not leave. I couldn't leave. Mm-hmm. I know that God was truly saying, Shannon, this is what I want you to do. And so I was the last person in that room, and I broke down crying and just poured it all out. Because, I mean, at that point, I was like, I can't leave. I'm here. I just need to tell him everything. And I poured it all out. And instead of judging me, instead of pointing finger at me, instead of yelling at me, that priest, God, through that priest, looked at me and said, I am so sorry. And those words healed me, healed something within me, gave me a strength and a power to think, oh my gosh, I am loved, I am worthy, and even though this is going to be a struggle, I can come out of this, and I can be the person that he had created me to be.
Especially from your own experience, but also in your work in youth ministry, we have, as kids sometimes in our family, we look through the window of other people's homes and we desire normal. We think, oh, right, they have the normal life. But from what you've told me, and again, from your own experience, the reality is there's really no such thing as normal, is there?
Oh, absolutely not. If there is, I would really like to meet those people.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is that in your story, your parents, they loved you very much. And
oh, yes.
Yeah, and that you had the upbringing. I mean, this could be in anyone's home. The things that you experience could be on the person, your next door neighbor, or it could very well be happening in your very own home.
Oh, in all honesty, yeah, we looked like a very normal family. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were at Mass every Sunday. My dad was an usher. Even in high school, I lectured.
Mm-hmm.
I lectured. Because I liked to be up in front of people. And unfortunately, you know, I wish that I had embraced it differently then as I do now. But, you know, we had a very well-known family in our community. We appeared normal to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that can be the lie, too, that the evil one would want is that, well, we have a persona, we have this, we got to keep it secret. and not right. talk about it with our parents, not talk about it with someone who might be able to help. I mean, or we fall for the lie that somehow it's normal for our dignity to be able to be robbed this way, whether it's in what's happening in the social settings within a high school, a college, or out in the world.
Right. And I think that that's the case even more today than it was back when I was younger. When I was young and in my home and those things were happening to me, I didn't open up about them. I didn't go to my parents because I felt as if I had betrayed them. I had let them down. You know, I was supposed to be a certain type of person and uphold, you know, this normalcy that we're trying to portray to everybody else. And that is why I didn't go to my parents. Now, of course, when I did finally go to my parents, obviously just embraced me with love and supported me, and that is how I truly also walked into healing. But what I see with kids today, with teenagers today, is that they do feel as if, well, this is just how it is. You mm-hmm. know, that they're losing their virginity at such a younger age these days, and it's just par for the course. This is what everybody else is doing, and even though they don't feel right about it and they're struggling inside and they're fighting back spiritually, they just don't feel like, who would they tell that would care? Because it's happening to everybody.
Your book is not just for young women in high school, or men for that matter, or in college, as we discussed earlier, or even just for their parents. It's also for those 20, 30, 40-somethings right. out there who are struggling right now with this incredible ache they just can't fill.
Right.
And more right. often than not, they may have experienced elements of what you experienced.
Right. I think that, well, first of all, there are so many people that have been abused in some way or have been neglected or suffered some kind of a loss that has just left them feeling, that unworthiness or even that shame and that frustration, and they don't know how to finally feel peace and to feel happiness and to feel joy and just embrace what God has given them. And I feel that by telling my story and being honest about fully having a conversion with God, by letting go of that life, letting go of that need to control and to try to, try to take hold of the reins of my life and say, okay, well, I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it this way. But it wasn't making me happy. It was making me a very negative, bitter, angry person. And that is not what God wants of us either. And it wasn't until I was able to give up that control to Him and say, okay, God, what do you have for me? What can you do with my life? I give it up to you. That is when I fully embraced my life as a whole, and things began to happen that I never even knew could be dreamed of, And I believe that's a message that's for everyone. It's just, how can we get to that point of releasing that control over to God?
It sounds, as we've spoke earlier, that confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, was pivotal. Having that spiritual counseling guidance by the priest. But I would imagine for you in particular, Shannon, the other graces received in the sacrament, scripture study, just being able to receive the Eucharist, that in itself has that way of helping what we profess, that we believe in things visible and invisible. This is the thing that I would imagine gives you a tremendous amount of grace and strength.
Oh, absolutely. And, I find it interesting that at a younger age, I didn't quite know how to embrace the Eucharist as, the source and summit of who I was. But yet, every time I was called back into Mass and went to Mass and received Him, and especially after receiving, the sacrament of reconciliation, being just being able to be fully ready to receive the Eucharist, I know that having, being that living tabernacle for God, just being able to receive Him in that way was giving me graces, even at times when I didn't even recognize that, that He was there. And he definitely consistently called me back to him and called me back to Mass and called me back into the church, because there was times where I wanted to walk away and I didn't see what the importance of was of our faith. And but when it all came down to it, and when I gave, you know, everything to God and said, okay, God, whatever your will is, you know, whatever it is, then I'm here for you. And the first thing he truly did was call me right back into the Catholic Church, because I was waning. I was like, I don't know, is it right for me? And it was, and he wanted me back, and by coming back into the church, you know, he allowed me to gradually be able to embrace just the teachings and the fullness of the truth, you know, of what we have in our Catholic faith. And I had recently started a ministry at our parish called Catholics Returning Home, and it's a program that's been out there for many years, but we started it at our parish. And I love having people of all ages come back and sit in these classes and be able to say, you know, there's something that's calling me back, but I don't know if I can fully embrace it. And by the end of the program, after just hearing, relearning about what it is our sacraments are about, oh, it's just amazing to see them involved in the church again and coming back to the Lord like that.
Well, an extraordinary path that you've been on. And we're talking with Shannon Dietz, the author of Exposed, Inexcusable Me, Irreplaceable Him. And in this journey, it's taken you to offer a very special faith-based ministry called Hopeful Hearts Ministry. Could you talk to us about that?
Hopeful Hearts Ministry just started in January of this year, 2012. And what it was is, for many years, as I've been speaking with the Steubenville conferences and all different kind of youth conferences all over the world, and World Youth Day, and anything that I made and that I brought in, I was putting right back in to other ministries. I'm also the spokesperson for the Maria Goretti Network, which is an abuse survivor support group that we're trying to get more and more of these social justice programs within every parish. And so I was putting money back, just right back into that ministry, and then giving books away to those that, you know, I'd meet, you know, at conferences or just talking to, or that sort of thing. And just the more and more I was doing this, everybody else said, why aren't you just forming your own nonprofit? That way we can help you. Because people wanted to donate money to me, and I'm like, don't give me money. Mm-hmm. You know what? I didn't feel right by doing mm-hmm. that. And so now having this nonprofit, Hopeful Hearts, people are, you know, obviously helping out the ministry, and we are able to now go even wider and bigger and giving books to penitentiaries, women's penitentiaries, and going to women's shelters and halfway houses for teenagers, and giving just stacks of books so that they can be available to those that truly, you know, might receive, you know, the grace from reading them. And then also I've been approached by some of these other nonprofits to help them within their fundraising because they can't afford to bring somebody in to speak. I'll do it for free and just to help them out. And so that's essentially what it is right now. Eventually, I would love to see that we would have enough funds to offer scholarships for counseling for those that, you know, can't afford counseling, just to be able to talk about the things that, you know, they have struggled with and have gone through in their lives.
Wow. When you talk about women who have, from the point of having to go into shelters because of the abuse they might be feeling in their own family or even in the prisons, it really goes back to those roots of childhood, doesn't it?
And yes, it does.
If we'd be in a state of denial if we didn't believe the enemy, he even begins in the womb of women, trying to damage, to try to breach that relationship that parents foster. And it really is essential that you continue, you never give up, and you never give up hope, and you continue to trust.
Absolutely. I mean, the hope is always there. I love that hope. Hope against hope. We one time at our parish did a Bible study and focused just on that statement alone. Hope against hope. Hope is always there. It's always there. You just, you know, it's just looking up and just saying a prayer and knowing that yes, tomorrow is a new day, and you know, your life circumstance won't always be what it is in this moment, this day.
Mm. Well, Shannon, I wish we had more time. Any final thoughts?
You know, I guess my overall final thought for anybody listening that might have gone through some kind of an abuse, or even if you suffered a loss, or for whatever reason, you might just be depressed and you have no idea why. Talk to somebody. Tell somebody. If you can't share it with a family member, with your spouse, with your mom and dad, whatever that may be, then, you know, go seek counseling. Call a counselor. Go talk to somebody. Go to your priest. Go to somebody at the church that you might trust. But the biggest thing is, and that's where I get exposed from, is Ephesians 5. It talks about exposing what's been done to you, exposing these lies that you're hearing and that you're listening to that have been done to you in the dark, that are keeping you in this pit. Talk about it. Bring it out into the light so that Christ can bring you into this light and allow you to see that you are worthy and that you are loved.
Amen. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it. And please go see my website. It's hopefulheartsministry.com. And you can purchase the book on there, and I do a blog, and you could contact me. I would love to hear from you.
Oh, beautiful. Shannon, thanks again.
Thank you.
With Shannon Dietz, we've gone inside the pages of Exposed, Inexcusable Me, Irreplaceable Him. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Shannon's website, hopefulheartsministry.com. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.